Blog Talk Radio.
Little Rob Zombie drag. Usually I go with the Metallica Fuel, so we figured we'd change it up a little bit. That was a good song, too. Obviously, my taste in music is on the hard rock side, heavy metal. And have a few other likes on some friends' page that have done the show, country singers. We'll have to get Kat Beale on. She has a new album out. It's the first one since, I guess, moving to Texas, so. It'll be great to talk to her again. Anyway, we did have some racing action this weekend. No guest today, just me rambling on. IndyCar in action out at Long Beach, California. Well, I guess while they're still allowed to do stuff in California. You never know with that state. And NASCAR, not too far from me. In Martinsville. I never did the math. How far am I from Martinsville? I'm just going to type this in real quick. And let the computer do its stuff. Wow. It's 109.4 miles away. And that's 2 hour and 5 minute drive, depending which route I take. I think that's the quickest, yeah. So I'd have to take I-77 all the way down Highway 58 and then drive across 58 in Hillsville and cut all the way across to Martinsville. So there you have it. Maybe if I lived more in Withville, I'd chop about a half an hour to 45 minutes off that run. But, yeah, that's close enough. As opposed to Richmond, which is all the way across the state. I have been to Martinsville. I have been to Richmond. And believe it or not, this coming weekend, they're going to be ...90 miles away in Bristol. Bristol is a city that's on the border of Tennessee and Virginia. So one half of Bristol's in Virginia. The other half is in Tennessee. But that's 90 miles away. So we're looking at not a 2.5 hour drive, a 2 hour drive, because it's pretty much straight highway. I think there's one little side street and it's not very far to go. Unless you're in race traffic, then anything. You know what? Let's kick this one in. An hour and 28 minutes, 88.1 miles. See, I just shoot down I-81, which is about, I say 20 miles from me south, and then shoot south on 81. Now, if you get to this area in Virginia, it's kind of crazy the way the road is. I-81 is a straight connected road. But I-77, if you're coming south from, say, Blacksburg or Roanoke on 81, you'll come to 81 south to 77 south, which will take you down to the way to Martinsville. But if you're up in Roanoke, you just take the back roads. It's not that far. And if you go a little past that ramp to go south on 77, you'll see a sign 81 south, 77 north. So it's not a connected interstate on I-77. There's about 10-mile gap between where 77 north to West Virginia comes in from 77 south to North Carolina. And I'm about 3 hours from Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken. Let's find out. Two hours and 27 minutes. Wow, it's only at half an hour. Well, it's a straight run, I-77 down into Charlotte now. I want to ride Concord, which is where the track's at. Two hours and 38 minutes. So it's just actually, it's around the, it's attached to Charlotte, but I can't remember which side. It might be on the south side of Charlotte. It's been a while since I've been down there. But they have Bristol, Martinsville, and Charlotte within a three-hour drive. So it's nothing for me to get to one of the tracks, so just got to get out there one of these days. Anyway, let's go head out to Long Beach and check out the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach race results. On the streets of Long Beach, California, yes. The 1.968-mile street race before the original road course tracks were built. The history of that was from the Formula One series, which raced through the streets of different parts of Europe. Anyway, taking the checkered flag is the number two of Joseph Newgarden. Second place, Romain Grosjean. I hope I pronounced that right. I did take French in school for a couple years, so I have an idea. Third, Alex Palou. And the number three, Will Power. In fourth, Pato O'Ward. Fifth, Scotty Dixon. Sixth, Graham Rahal. Seventh, I guess Wifey was out at Long Beach this week. Well, she really don't race anymore, but she usually, I think, hangs with the family when NHRA is running, because that's her start. Or I'm talking about Courtney Force Rahal. Alexander Rossi is eighth. Elio Castroneves is ninth. Kyle Kirkwood rounds out your top ten. Let's see, anybody else? Oh, Tatiana Calderon. There's a lady in the field. Finished 16th. And Jimmy Johnson. Yes, Jimmy Johnson's running IndyCar. He's running 20th in a Honda. He only ran 73 laps, had contact with something. Jimmy, you don't have fenders. No trading paint or tire marks. But I think Jimmy knows better. That was just something. He retired from NASCAR after seven championships and a bunch of wins, and he's going to the IndyCar. And they have NHRA Pro Stock champion Tanner Gray, who made the leap and was trying to go him up through the ranks into NASCAR. But at least IndyCar and NASCAR, you're driving either in an oval or a road course, as opposed to a straight line and at a drag strip. A little more to overcome there. But Tanner seems to be doing good. We'll check on him when we get to the NASCAR wrap up. Margin of victory. Winner's average speed, 93.977 miles an hour. It's actually pretty good for a road course, or actually a street course. You know, you're susceptible to all the bumps and stuff on the street unless they ran the distance and filled any potholes, but California is not known for excessive potholes, I guess. Time of the race took an hour 46 minutes, 48.01 seconds, margin of victory. Under caution. So it was a close finish. No, just kidding. Four cautions for 14 laps. Five lead changes amongst five drivers. So you had Colton Herta, Joseph Newgarden, Will Power. Devlin DeFrancesco and Alex Perlew were your five leaders. Let's check the points. So right now, Newgarden has a whopping five-point lead over Scott McLaughlin, who wound up 14th. Alex Palou is 15 back of Newgarden in third. Will Power, 1 point behind Palou. And then it drops down about 21, 19 points with Scotty Dixon, Gross Jean, and fourth and fifth, or fifth and sixth. VK in seventh. Eighth was Erickson, Pato Award ninth. And Graham Rahal rounds out your top 10 in points. Let's see, where's the next event? The Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. So we are going to Alabama on the 1st of May. Yahoo. Didn't think they ran there. And then we're May 14th, I guess, of the Grand Prix at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. May 29th, Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday, we have the Indy 500. So Indy car is off for a couple of weeks. They don't run that big series. So, and they'll be back about a month. Actually, no. I was looking at the Indy Grand Prix race on the 14th. I'll be back in 3 weeks. So that takes care of our Indy. All right. On to the fun stuff of the weekend. I forgot to bring this up and set it. Shame on me. Well, it's better than what happened last week with the audio. All righty. Kicking it off on Thursday evening was the 24th annual Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 200 at the Paperclip. Yes, Martinsville's the Paperclip. We had, finishing first, taking home the grandfather clock, William Byron for the HendrickCars.com Chevrolet. Johnny Sauter coming in second. Kyle Busch and the JBL Toyota. We have two cup guys in the top three. John Hunter Nemechek in fourth. Ben Rhodes in fifth. Chandler Smith is sixth. Matt Kraft in seventh. Eighth, Grant Enfinger, Zane Smith, ninth, and Tyler Ankrum rounds out your top 10. Race was 1 hour, 47 minutes. Average speed, 58.662. Margin of victory, 1.13 seconds. That's a pretty big gap. Consider a track that tight. There were 9 lead changes among 6 drivers. 11 cautions for 71 laps. Sounds about right for Martinsville. Two stage conclusions for a total of, one was 9 laps, one was 7 laps. So most of them were incident related, and you would expect it at Martinsville. So it's not a win in your end day for Martinsville, because William Byron, a Cup driver, took the win. It was Byron's 8th victory in 26 Truck Series races and his first victory and first top 10 in 2022. It's his first victory and third top 10 running 3 races at the Paperclip. So, and then Ben Rhodes, who had a better run than Chandler Smith, not by much, leads him in the points by 4. Zane Smith would be 3rd. We've got Stuart Friesen 4th. 5th is John Hunter Nemechek. And 6th is Christian Eckes, tied with John Hunter Nemechek. 2 points back of them. And 7th is Tanner Gray, so he's in the playoffs as of now. 8th, Ty Majeski, 52 back. Matt Crafton is 9th, and rounding out your top 10, Tyler Ankrum. So Tanner Gray's got a shot at a Truck Series championship. Let's see, who else was in the race? I saw Haley Deegan. I mean, I seen her in the points. She hasn't raced too much. I didn't see her in the results, but I didn't go that far down. She's been having some stalker issues. I don't know if anybody's seen her video on Instagram, but I hope they get that resolved. You hate to see anybody stalking somebody, especially somebody coming up through the sport like that. It doesn't bode well. But we know, I've heard horror stories about stalkers. And if you remember you know, it never turns out well, because sometimes you don't expect what's happening. So that being said, let's check on what our winner had to say.
All right. We've now been officially joined by our race winner, William Byron. Congratulations, William.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us. We will open it up for questions. If you have a question for William, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We'll get to as many questions as we can, and we'll start in the back with Davey.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. William, it was 1,966 days since you last won a truck race. Did it feel that long?
Well, yeah, lots changed for sure. Yeah, you know, I've gone through so many different series and different cars since I've been in the truck series. And, you know, it's, yeah, lots changed in the truck series too. You know, a lot of new faces and more aggressive racing, I'd say, in some ways on the restarts and stuff like that. So the engines have changed. So yeah, it's been a long time. I didn't feel comfortable at all in the truck the first, you know, 20 laps of the race, and just trying to feel it out, feel where the shift points were. I was way off on that, you know, really not used to the engine. So just getting used to all that, but it's been a fun ride, you know, since I've been in the Truck Series, and it's good to come back and, you know, learn some things for Saturday, but also just have fun. You know, I just enjoy racing, and Mr. H has given us a great platform to go race and putting deals together for us, so it's really cool.
Rudy was on the pit box with Bono. Did he help you feel a little bit more comfortable tonight, having that familiar voice in your ear?
Yeah, I know Rudy like the back of my hand. I feel like we know each other so well. So, yeah, it helped a little bit just having him, you know, give some dialogue, and he knows the words I use. But Bono is awesome too, and you know, Bono is really the one that was working on this truck in the shop. You know, it's at his house, so you know, it's cool to see how much craftsmanship he puts into it. The attention to detail was, I could tell when I first went to the shop on Tuesday, and I could tell how detailed he was. And, you know, he's got a nice shop there, by his house. So yeah, it's cool to get a win, and, hopefully we can do it again.
All right. We'll continue with questions. We'll come up front to Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. After last week, are you like, please don't leave me out on older tires with people chasing me on fresher tires?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different here in Martinsville. This place has a lot of grip, you know, for what it is, how small the track is. So the concrete, you know, was really fresh tonight and had a lot of grip. So I think the track's going to have a lot of grip throughout the weekend. I mean, Richmond, it's nothing like Richmond. Richmond's so low on grip, and yeah, you know, it sucks that we didn't win that one last week, but just the mojo and the momentum we have on our team, I think, is clicking, and we just got to keep this up. You know, we're in the early part of the season, but it's good to see the strength from everybody working hard.
And any sense of pride or anything to give that organization their first truck win?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's, you know, I've got a couple familiar faces, three familiar faces, I'd say. You know, Joe Krushek, who works back in the shop, does some of the finish fab. You know, Bono, I worked alongside him at KBM, so I knew his tendencies kind of from the year I was at KBM. He was there with the 51, and then with Mike Greachy, you know, he's the competition director when I was in K&N. So three really quality people, and I think that, you know, it's all about people in the sport, and I feel like them working together, I could tell the brain power was pretty high.
All right, we'll continue with questions. We'll go here.
Aaron Bearden, Motorsports Beat, congrats on the win. First off, started toward the back today because qualifying was rained out. Now you were talking about being patient. What was it like having to work your way through the field early on?
Yeah, so like the first five laps I was all right, racing there with Haley and racing with Johnny, and they were all racing pretty good. And a couple of the other guys were you know, struggling on the bottom. There were a couple issues here and there. So I was fine, like, the first 10 laps. And then we had that long caution. I started to panic. I'm like, man, I'm way far back. And, you know, if we're going to run this many cautions, like, how am I going to get to the front? So it was a little nerve-wracking. Then I think we got to 20th and then pitted, kind of got off cycle with some of the leaders, which made it easier for us. I think we restarted, like, 12th and drove to 6th or 7th and just kind of marched our way through that. And then, you know, obviously our goal is to go for the win, so we didn't have to worry about stage points and just focus on, you know, putting ourselves on the same strategy as Kyle, same strategy as Sauter, and you know, those guys I thought were pretty good, but we were able to make some good adjustments.
And then start this race, you put in some late model races. I think I saw today you're going to run Larson's late model challenge race. Is there kind of a method to the madness here, just trying to get more track time? What is it?
Yeah, I'm just having fun. I don't think I realized how little I was racing. You know, I was obviously racing on Sundays, but Sundays is a lot of pressure, and it's nice to just kind of go back. And it's all about the people, though. Like, if I wasn't around great people, I don't know if I'd have as much fun. So I think being around Bono and Greachy, and then on the late model side with Bond, and you know, people that I've known in the past, and I respect what they do and their and the way that they work. So I think it makes it fun to kind of work with those people. And then, you know, on the dirt late model side of things, you know, I know some people over there, so it's going to be fun to work with, you know, Mike and those guys over at Warrior Chassis, and kind of, I don't know what I'm doing over there, but hopefully I can, you know, the tests that I did seem pretty good. So just got to, you know, see what happens.
All right. We're going to take another question downstairs. Then we'll go upstairs. Go ahead.
Studdecker, kickingtires.net.
There you have William Byron, the Truck Series winner. All right. Let's scooch on over to the Xfinity Series, second annual Call 811 Before You Dig 250, powered by call811.com. And that way you don't rip up gas lines type of deal, you know. All right, taking the checkered flag for this one, leading stage two, three times for 28 laps, was Brandon Jones. Yes, that Brandon Jones, where the famous slogan, "Let's go, Brandon," came from. Well, he didn't make it up, but an Xfinity pit reporter at Talladega, when he won Talladega, made it up. So Brandon Jones, yeah, "Let's go, Brandon." From Brandon, and second we go to Landon Castle. Third, AJ Allmendinger. AJ, no stage wins, no laps led, nothing. Well, there was a caution in overtime that kind of jumbled the field, and the guy that was leading was Ty Gibbs, who led five times for 197 laps. So, but not the last one. But anyway, Sam Mayer is the one who actually got together with him, and there was actually a fight in the pits. So they were kind of duking it out after the race. So Austin Hill was fourth. Mayer wound up fifth. Riley Herb sixth. Ryan Truex, Marty's brother, seventh. Eighth, Ty Gibbs, who started from the pole. Ryan Sieg, ninth, and Jeremy Clements. Hadn't seen his name up there in a while. Rounds out your top ten. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was actually in the race, wound up 11th. He was driving his famed number 88. That was his cup number, but he's a team owner. I guess that number isn't used in the Xfinity Series, so he was able to slap it on. So I guess he owns that number now. And stage one winner was, of course, Ty Gibbs. The race was 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 56 mile per hour was the average speed. Margin of victory, 0.677, so we'll call it 5/8 of a second. There were 12 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. 16 cautions for 100 laps. So we had stage 1, stage 2. Stage 1 was 8 laps, stage 2 was 7, so 15 of those 100 were non-incident related. It was and the big one we're looking at, at the end of the race on lap 252 in overtime, so they didn't make it to the white flag when the crap hit the fan, which had a red flag of 19 minutes and 50 seconds. We're looking at 15 cars packing up like sardines. So it doesn't take much to do that at Martinsville. Now you would think Talladega, Daytona, you know, where they wipe out half the field. That's only because they can't stop. Well, they can't stop here, but they're a lot tighter. Anyway, let's check our points. Well, Brandon Jones won the second annual Call 811 Before You Dig. And it's his fifth in the Xfinity Series. And it's his first one and fourth top 10 in 2022. So he locks in. So we do have a win and lock in the Xfinity Series this time. On the points, we've got A.J. Allmendinger leading Ty Gibbs by 20 points. Noah Gragson, who was up there at the top of the heap, is down to third. Brandon Jones, our winner, up to fourth. Josh Berry, fifth. Sam Mayer, sixth. Seventh is Justin Allgaier. Eighth, Daniel Hemric. Ninth, Ryan Sieg. Tenth, Austin Hill. 11th, Riley Herbst. And on the bubble, there's a pretty good lead over 13th, is Landon Castle. I remember when Landon Castle used to drive in the Xfinity Series for Dale Earnhardt Jr. I interviewed him at Dover. And he's been on the show many years ago, back in the WNJC days. I mean, I have those shows on tape on another laptop. Maybe I could download them to a flash drive and bring them up for reruns when I need them. Anyway, and the ones that have wins are Allmendinger with one, Ty Gibbs with three, Gragson with one, Brandon Jones with one, and Austin Hill is the only other one who's won and locked into the playoffs. So let's check out our winner, see what he had to say about his exciting run and that exciting finish. I'm sure that was brought up in the press conference.
Okay, we are now joined by our winner of tonight's call, 811 before you dig 250 here at Martinsville Speedway, and that is Brandon Jones. Brandon, congratulations on the victory. Talk to us about those last two laps at the restart, some wild racing, but came out on top. Congratulations again.
Yeah, I mean, what a wild race for us in general. I'm sure that for some people it was probably really hard to keep up with, right? I mean, there was times that we stayed out. We got track position. We got stage points. I thought that was really the right call, and you know, I said it a few times. I never question anything on top of the pit box, and Jeff always does a really, really nice job. So I was going to go with whatever he was going to say there on that stage to either stay out and try to get the stage win or come in, try to get on the same strategy as everybody. I think that it worked out in our favor with all the restarts, everything that happened there at the very end of that race. You know, that thing goes green is, you know, for the whole stint there. It would have been tough. I don't think that even a top five would have been possible. I mean, it was just getting to the point where the rear grip was going away that much, and so it was key to have as many restarts as we did to keep cooling tires down and keep having chances to restart. I thought that our grip and restarts were great all night long. That was really our strong suit, was our short run speed, and then we were able to maintain it really well there at the end there. And so I think two restarts from the very end when all the chaos happened, I elected to go to the bottom. More of a defensive move for me. You know, I was thinking more so that same thing was going to happen. I didn't know where it was going to happen. I didn't think that it would have happened right there at the restart zone like it did. But certainly knew something was going to brew up. I mean, people were certainly getting antsy. You could tell that people were starting to hit left rears and starting to get into people's bumpers, and you were coming down to the end of that thing. And so that's just the way that this track normally heats up. And so I hate to see people get taken out. I hate to see, you know, stuff like that happen, but it worked out in our favor. It got us to the next level of that last restart. And, you know, there was kind of no way that we were able to, or we were going to take the outside anyways. And so I think that for Ty's sake, it's tough to be the leader in that position, right? I've seen that multiple times where that bottom guy is just going to have more of an advantage to be able to manipulate you and do things. And so, I think that all day long we made the right moves and made the right calls. Checked a lot of boxes today, got a lot of points. Dash for cash next week. So very, very big day for this 19 group.
Thank you, Brandon. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get you a mic. I think you summed it up really well in your first answer, Brandon. I hope we have any questions. Any questions from the press box?
What?
We'll come back down here to Bob.
Oh, here we go.
I'm Bob Parker's Fox Sports. Just can you talk about what's it like to kind of come into this race, knowing where you are in points and knowing everything, and then leaping, knowing you're pretty much in the you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was one thing this weekend. You know, we've had speed everywhere this year to win races, and it just takes a lot to win a race. I think in this day of age, it takes a lot of things to go right. And so you have some days that, and it doesn't take much, a little bit off here and there. You don't end up winning the race. You end up having a day that you got, put in a bad spot, and you lose a bunch of points. And so this weekend was kind of, to me, about just points. You know, it wasn't about coming into it and trying to just go for the race win, throwing all the stages away and trying to go for a race win. I really want to try to get stage points today. And like I said, I think that the cautions just played in our favor to make that work at the very end. Goes green. Like I said, it would have been a different story probably for us. But yeah, I thought that this was a big momentum turner for the whole group. I've seen the speed that we've produced this year, but at the same time, it is tough to go back to the shop every weekend without a win and watching teammates win. And so this is a good turn of events for us here.
Go over here to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. This is Martinsville, but at the same time, given the way the Xfinity race last weekend played out and that storyline, is there any sort of consideration about how far you're willing to go or what you have to do to be able to get the win? I mean, what is this? I hate to say this word because we're saying it a lot, but what are the ethics?
You keep up with the sport, right? And you see everyone talking about it. You've even seen multiple guys in the Cup Series talk about it. And it's, you have to, especially here, you have to get aggressive at the end. You play it safe, you play it smooth at the end, and you give up the win. You have to at least go for it, And so I think that the way that it ended, truthfully, was pretty clean for this racetrack, in my opinion. There could have been way more outcomes and way different ways to go about that. And I think that was the best case scenario for us, that the way that it played out. But yeah, it's getting aggressive. It's getting tough. It's not even for race wins, you get ran over a lot for 18th place, 18th to 20th place. It's like every position is really tough right now to hold on to. And so kind of expect it from everybody at this point.
There you have Brandon Jones putting things into perspective. All righty. Let's check out the Cup Series results. We have William Byron taking the checkered flag, getting two grandfather clocks this weekend. He won the truck race. He won the cup race. Didn't win any stages, but led three times for a whopping 212 laps. There were only four lap leaders. The only other one that led any kind of laps was a guy that won both stages, Chase Elliott. But we'll get to where he finished in a minute. Byron wound up taking the checkered flag and leading the most laps. Joey Logano was second. Austin Dillon was third, led once for one lap. Ryan Blaney, fourth, led once for five laps. Then you have Ross Chastain in fifth, Kurt Busch in sixth, Kyle Busch in seventh, eighth, Eric Amarola, who is in his final year as a Cup Series driver, Chase Briscoe, ninth, and your pole sitter, winning both stages one and two, Chase Elliott. It was kind of weird that they went from Chase dominating the race, and then when stage three started, it was like, where'd he go? Anyway, the race took 2 hours and 40 minutes, average speed 79.24 miles an hour. Margin of victory. Did 0.303 seconds. It was an overtime event because it was only a 400 lapper. They went to 403. There were four cautions for 36 laps. Four. Considering the multiple cautions they had in the cup, the truck race and the Xfinity race. And one was for the 11, stalled on the front stretch. I don't know what happened there with Hamlin. And the other one was the 38 in turn four on lap 395, which set the stage for the overtime, was they didn't go green until lap 401. And two stage conclusions. And stage one was for 10 laps. Stage two was for 11 laps. So your stage ending cautions were for 22 laps, and the incidents were for only 15 laps. That's how clean that race was, folks. I mean, you don't – they need 11 laps. The Truck Series and the Xfinity Series for their stage conclusion laps were only 8 and 7 in, I think, in either one. So I tried to check it. I checked it out before. So it's rare, the cup – the stage conclusion laps – in any event last that long. But they did in the Cup Series, so who's to say? Let's see. Obviously, William Byron had already, I do believe, already has a win, so he's locked in. But when we, I'll check it out in a minute. Yes, it's his second victory this year. It's his 73rd. It was the fourth victory in 152 cup races, the Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 400. And it's his first victory and fifth top 10 in 9 races at Martinsville. So, like I said, he picks up 2 grandfather clocks this weekend. Load them in the truck, drive them all back. Okay, the points. Chase Elliott leads. Ryan Blaney in the points. William Byron third with 2 wins, locked in. Joey Logano fourth. Ross Chastain fifth with a win, locked in. Alex Bowman with a win, locked in. Martin Truex Jr. seventh. Eric Almirola eighth. Kevin Harvick ninth. Kyle Busch, 10th, no wins. Chase Briscoe in 11th has a win. He's locked in. Tyler Reddick in 12th. 13th is Kyle Larson. He's got a win. Austin Cindric's got a win. In 14th, the Daytona 500. Austin Dillon, 15th. And on the playoff bubble, driving for a new team this year, Kurt Busch. He's teammates on the 23-11 team with Bubba Wallace. And Bubba was down in 22nd. Hey, Bubba, you need to up your game a little bit, dude. You've been on 3 teams already. So, but that's a team part owned by Denny Hamlin, the 11. And Michael Jordan, who wore number 23 in his years in the NBA. So, that being said, let's see what Mr. Byron had to say on his second win of the weekend.
All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 400 at Martinsville. We are joined by our race winner, William Byron, who has been collecting clocks here all weekend at Martinsville. His second clock of the weekend here, driver of the number 24 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. We will go straight to questions for William. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the back there with Noah.
Noah Lewis, TSJ Sports. First off, congratulations, William.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And then second off, you know, can you just talk a little bit about how the car felt tonight? It seemed like a bit of an odd race here at Martinsville in terms of what we usually see, and passing seemed pretty low.
Yeah, the pace was certainly high. You know, I don't think I could never relax. You know, I could never save – I saved tire by just not sliding the tires, but not – you know, I never could back up and, like, save tire and things like that. But I think it's just really cold temps and – you know, anytime it's below 40 degrees, I'd say, you know, the tires don't even lay rubber. So that was definitely a factor all night, but normal short track stuff, like take care of your rear tires and all those things. And I felt like we did a good job of that. Rudy made some great adjustments. They were probably the mid portion of the race, got us a little bit better, and, you know, just had to manage when we got to traffic and had to be aggressive with certain guys to kind of, you know, either move them or get them off line to pass them and set our gap from there. I thought as soon as we got our car a little bit better, we could work through lap traffic and kind of build the lead.
How much could you take from the truck race on Thursday? Obviously, these cars are very different.
It's different, but Martinsville, like any short track you go to, it's rhythm. So, you know, you find that rhythm, and I felt like in the truck I was able to find that rhythm pretty well in that last long run that we had towards the end of that race. And just, it's always fun just racing other stuff. I don't know why I didn't do more short track racing, you know, throughout the last few years, but it's been a lot of fun to go back to the short tracks and, you know, be with great people on the late model side. And there's, you know, little things here and there that they've taught me that I feel like have helped me, and all those things, all those little tidbits pay off.
And then quickly, I asked you Thursday about where you're going to put the clock. Have you figured the first one out, and what are you going to do now with the second one?
Yeah, probably give one of them to my parents and keep the cup one in the apartment because that one's pretty special. Anytime you win a cup race, these things are hard. I know it might've looked like we had a dominant race, but these cup wins are really hard. So you cherish them, and definitely going to try to keep all the trophies together.
We're going to go to Matt, Mark, and then we're going to go upstairs to the press box.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. You were in a similar position to win a clock. I think it was 2019, late caution kind of made it go away. Jeff Gordon has been so good here for so long. The 24 car is synonymous with modern Martinsville history.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any of that and your place now adding to that legacy? Chase wasn't able to do it. He came close too. But are you, like, aware of your place in history now, 24 in Martinsville?
Yeah, it's special because I feel like – so when I was a rookie, Jeff was like, hey, let's ride up to Martinsville together. Like, it wasn't even a question. It was like, hey, let's ride up to Martinsville together. I want to show you some things. So he walked me through this place, and just the things he told me, I don't know if they really clicked until I ran second that year to Truex, and they started to click, and I was like, all right, that's it. Like, that's the way you get around Martinsville. So just having his history in the 24 car definitely puts an emphasis on being good here, because I feel like it's a place that is filled with history, and if you can win here in the 24 car, it's going to be something you always cherish. So definitely is special, and, you know, he's got, what, 93 wins and however many clocks, you know, we've got a lot of clocks to chase, but it's cool to get that advice from him, those little things that I picked up from him in my rookie year that I didn't really use for a few years. And then as soon as I got towards the front, I'm like, all right, that makes sense.
I know that Jeff has kind of taken a personal investment in you in terms of not even just the racecraft, but also just the marketing and presenting yourself, yeah, you know, publicly. What has Jeff meant to you as far as, like, your development as a cup driver?
Yeah, I think Jeff kind of brought me to the Cup Series. Like, he, you know, I was a kid in Xfinity that was really raw and didn't know a lot about the world, and I felt like Jeff brought me into the Cup world and said, here's how things go, you know. And I think that that's been key for me, because he's probably been the biggest mentor for me when it comes to how do I manage the team, how do I talk to the guys, and how do I get things done, you know, when it comes to inside the shop and how I work with people. Hey, I want this on my car, or I want, you know, this in the interior of the car. So he was very vocal about getting all that stuff right, and I feel like those are the details that now it's kind of paying off for me.
Go to Mark and then the press box.
Mark Garrow, PRN. William, I've got a couple of questions. Number one, I was talking with Joey Logano after the race. He talked about how you brake checked him. He said, I would have done the same thing. I asked him, do you wish now you would have hit him harder? And he said, yes. What were you expecting there? Were you expecting something harder than he gave you in turn one?
Yeah, I just knew from – yeah, I just – legend car days. I just knew if it comes down to a restart at the end, the second place guy is just trying to move you off the bottom. So, you know, Dennis taught me a lot of good lessons back in the day of that stuff, and I felt like that paid off there at the end. I've never really been in a situation like that until tonight, but I was like, man, all right, I guess it's kind of like the legend cars. You got to keep the car on the bottom. And luckily, you know, I kind of messed up 3 and 4, and I was able to, he was right there on my bumper, but I was able to manage that.
And my other question is, this is the first time you've had multiple wins in a season. You've done that.
That's cool.
That's eight
We've
races.
Been chasing that.
That's eight races, only eight races into a 36-race season. So, A, again, how does that make you feel now, and what are you adjusting goals now as far as how many races you think you can win this year?
Yeah, I think I said it a couple times. I felt like last year left us with a pretty bitter taste because I felt like we were so close to a lot of wins in that second half of the year. And, man, it just felt like things would happen and things would break down, you know, right at the last minute. And it left me with a bitter taste. And I felt like, you know, throughout this offseason, I was pretty bitter about that stuff. And, you know, but it was motivation because I felt like we could get into this year. Granted, it's a new car. We had to go through that adaptation process with a new car, but I feel like we're starting to learn now what we need. And, you know, it's good to see. And now I feel like all that desire and passion that we had in the off season to prove to ourselves that we could win multiple races is there.
There you have your race winner, William Byron. All righty. We're going to wrap it up for this week. Oh, don't forget, the They Still Live podcast is up on YouTube, episode 74. And it's on my Facebook page. Or if you already follow me or friends with me, you've probably seen the post. But go to YouTube. It's hosted by Jeff Sandor, who played Dale Earnhardt. Notice the connection there. On Country Music Television's NASCAR, The History of Speed. So, let's take a look this weekend. We're going to get down and dirty. The world's fastest half mile just got caked with dirt. Pinty's Truck Race on Dirt. Yep, you guessed it, Bristol Motor Speedway. That'll be Saturday night, April 16th. At 7 p.m. And then Sunday, Easter Sunday. I don't know what happened in NASCAR, but there was never a cup race on Easter Sunday. They'll be running at Bristol, 7 p.m. on regular Fox. So if you only have regular channels, go to Fox, your local affiliate, and you could watch the cup race. It should be interesting. And so Bristol's going to be dirty. They're running a cup race on Easter. Phil France would have never let that happen. Anyway, that's our show for this week. We'll see you all next week, Tuesday, 12 noon. If you can't catch it live, give it a little bit. It'll be up on podcast at everything will be on blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.